Reading in Luke's Gospel in chapter 18, verse 35. And it came to pass that as he, that is our Lord Jesus, was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood, and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight, and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. You know, I've had the experience of walking down a street, it's called a bazaar, in Algiers and in other North African cities, but a street full of people. People with turbans on their heads and long flowing gowns and people who make quite a lot of noise. I've had the experience of realizing that just around me, just around the little area through which I was moving, there was dead quiet. And eyes that stared and followed me as I moved through. And I've seen the blind man, who though he couldn't see, followed with his ear. I've seen him sitting in the gutter. You know, it must have been a scene something like that. A whole crowd of busy people who suddenly became aware of a louder noise. The noise of a multitude. A multitude approaching their area. And if the usual people who could see became quickly aware that there was something unusual happening, there was one man who seemed to even see more than them, even though he could only use his ears. He was a blind man. You know, somehow I think deep in his heart, he knew that the moment he had been waiting for had arrived. When he asked what was happening, and he heard the cry, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by, he realized that this was a moment that he had to grasp, he had to take hold of, he had to act upon. For him, it was a moment of hope. And for him, it was a moment of power. And for him, it was a moment of decision. Now, I've often sat at my desk and tried to picture that scene. Picture a blind beggar who was just used to sitting cross-legged in the gutter with his begging cup in his hand, and try to make his voice heard above the voices of the rest. That blind beggar, now on his feet and his begging cup thrown to one side, and his voice now sounding out above all the noise of a crowd, and indeed of a multitude, and the great cry that's coming from his heart and from his lips has to do with Jesus. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. You know, I wondered what kind of a shock that would have had upon a whole lot of people. You see, this was the one whom already they were saying, he's the Messiah, he's the King. He's on his way up to Jerusalem to be crowned. This is like a coronation procession. Look at the multitudes who move with him. And here's a filthy, ragged, blind, useless beggar crying out that this one should help him. You know, I've never seen a coronation procession. Most of the people in England, they don't see those kind of things. The visitors do. But I've heard quite a bit about it, and I've been along the route where it takes place. But I often wondered what would ever have happened if you had a royal procession in London, and suddenly a beggar is crying to a monarch on the way to be crowned for a just stop everything and deal with me. Well, I think it would be rather a London policeman who would do that. But the scripture says that the Lord Jesus stood. And what was to happen was to bring about a complete change in the blind man, a complete change in every part of him. And that blind man was going to bring glory to God. Because the blind man was going to, he was going to pin everything upon the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. Now, in a meeting like this, let's remember, this meeting could be your moment of hope. I thank God I've never forgotten what it was like to be unsaved. I hope I'm not going to forget that before I get to heaven, because it helps me in preaching the gospel to others. I was 28 years old when I was saved, when I realized that my moment of hope had come. 28 years old. And I know what it's like to become aware that my life certainly wasn't what it ought to be. I knew what it was to be aware that I was heading deeper and deeper into ruin. I knew what it was to realize that I was a sinner, and surely there was far, far more to existence than what I had been through. Because I knew what it was to have the Spirit of God working in my heart and mind to make me aware of those things. And I'm trusting that there's someone in this gathering tonight, some man or woman or young person, and you know what it is to realize that your life certainly isn't what it ought to be. And it isn't getting any better. And you're wondering if there could be any way out, any change. Is there anyone who could possibly help? Perhaps it is you've even tried to help yourself, and like me, you found that didn't work. Well then, tonight, you're faced with your moment of hope. Now let me tell you, that if the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't on the scene, there would only be hopelessness. We learn in Hebrews 9 that without the Lord Jesus, there's no hope of forgiveness. We learn in the first epistle of John in chapter 5 that without the Lord Jesus, there's no hope of eternal life. We learn in Romans 5 that without the Lord Jesus, there's no hope of peace with God. And again, there's no hope of escape from the wrath of God. We learn in John 14, without the Lord Jesus, there's no hope of heaven. In fact, we learn in Acts chapter 4, without the Lord Jesus, there's no hope of salvation at all. But we believe with all our hearts, When the gospel is preached, Jesus of Nazareth passes by. The Lord Jesus is here just as real as I am here. He's here for to bring you something that no one else could bring you, and that is that complete change that we've talked about. That complete alteration of yourself, your character, your life, and your destiny. It's your moment of hope, my friend. I tell you, no matter who you are or what you are, the Lord Jesus can reach you and tonight completely transform you, make you a new person, a new man, a new woman. You know, that's the miracle of salvation. It's not asking you to turn over a new leaf. It's not so much making some kind of new start in life where you become religious or you become more pious than you used to be. It's not getting you onto a church row or getting you even among a company of people. It's the fact that when the gospel is preached, the Son of God draws near to you as an individual. The Son of God himself, in all his miracle work and power, the Son of God draws near. That's why we say that when the gospel is preached, there comes the moment of hope. And it's the moment of power. You know, there was no power on earth could have helped that blind man apart from the power of God's own Son. And the blind man seemed to sense it, he seemed to realize it. And he wasn't going to let anyone stop him when the moment came. He wasn't going to let anyone stop him from reaching that person who had the power. You know, the Lord Jesus was very, very interested in a meeting with that individual, just as he is interested in meeting with you tonight. A moment of power. You know, Luke's very fond of putting before us those moments, demonstrating the fact that his Lord was the Lord who had all power. You'll find in chapter 5, in the case of the leper, a man who had become unclean. And that wasn't only in his own estimation, you know, it was in the estimation of all those around about him. The poor leper was pronounced unclean, and he was treated as being unclean. And he had a disease that nobody could put right. And he heard of the Lord Jesus. And he decided that the Lord Jesus was the only one who could help him. And you know, that must have been a sight. When that man and the Lord Jesus came face to face together, the moment of power for a leper came, when the Lord Jesus was willing to touch him, and touch him in such a way that his leprosy would be immediately and completely dealt with. I haven't seen a leper, I've seen pictures of lepers. But I tell you, I've seen characters in my time that would meet the description as far as leprosy of the soul is concerned. You know, I was in a meeting in a place called South Shields over in England. I had been preaching the gospel, and at the close of that meeting there was a soldier in uniform and his wife, and they asked me if I could help them for to find the Lord Jesus as Savior. And I had been sitting down at the front with them with my Bible open, reading them the scripture over and over and over again, reading the scripture, and then seeing the two of them finally realize that Christ had died for them, that it really did mean them. And so those two, a husband and wife together, coming into the blessing of salvation. And I tell you, I felt that everything was so wonderful, everything was so good that night, until someone touched me on the shoulder and said, "Ben, Billy Buckham wants to talk to you." And I said, "Who?" They said, "Bill Buckham, he's at the back of the hall and he won't go until he's talked to you." And then I felt like somebody had just poured a bucket full of cold water over the top of me, because I felt myself go cold. I knew Billy Buckham, I had known him in my unsaved days. I'd known him before the skids got under him, and I knew him after. He was a man with over 130 police convictions. And he was a complete alcoholic. By this time he was on methylated spirits.
When I got to the back of the hall and looked at him, here was a man with an old coat on, tied with a big safety pin, no shirt underneath it, an old cloth cap stuck on his head, and his hair hanging almost down to his shoulders, and that was a long time before it was the fashion. A beard, and his eyes all bloodshot, and his hands shaking, trembling, and his face twitching. And I looked at that man, and I said, "What do you want, Bill?" He said, "Ben, I was in this meeting today." He said, "I want what you've got. I want what you've got." You know, I looked at that man and I remember now, there was a verse of scripture came to my mind. Oh, it wasn't any great gospel verse, I tell you. The verse of scripture that came to my mind was, "Can these dry bones live?" And I looked into those bloodshot eyes. And then I remembered, it wasn't so very far away. It hadn't been so very long before that I had been right on the verge of where that man was now. The Lord had come in and saved me. And I said, "Billy, come and take my hand." And he put his hand in mine. And I said, "Bill, I'm going to talk to you very simply. I said, I believe the Lord Jesus can give you what I've got. He can save you. But you've got to trust him. You've got to take him as your own savior." I asked him if he'd understood the gospel that night. He said, "Yes." He said, "What have I got to do?" I said, "Man, you've got to tell him. You've got to take him." You know, he was standing there with his head bowed. And then he looked up and they could hear him all over that hall. He said, "I, Billy Buckham, now take Jesus to be my Savior." He put his hat on and he said, "Thank you." And he walked out. 2 years later, I was preaching the gospel in another hall, in Harton Gospel Hall in South Shields. Well, just before the meeting was to start, I got up on the platform. There they gave out the opening hymn to start the meeting from the platform. And I saw a man come down the aisle. A man in a dark suit and a white shirt. Clean. Walking briskly. Sat down in the front. He had a Bible in his hand. He looked up at me and he smiled. And I tell you, it took me a while for to give out that hymn. Because there, clothed and in his right mind and sitting at the feet of Jesus, was Billy Buckham. You know, his own sister told me, she said, "Ben, that's one thing I would never have believed in all my life, except I had seen it with my own eyes, that the Lord could save a man like my brother." Listen, it's a moment of power. You see that in the 5th chapter. You see that in the 13th chapter. There's a woman there, a crooked woman. She's so crooked, you know, that she can't get her eyes off the gutters. And she's got her back turned upon heaven. And that's how she's going through life. I don't know how old she was. I know she's been like that for 18 years. I know there's nothing could straighten her out, humanly speaking, until one day she was brought to the Lord Jesus. I think by the grace of God brought to the Lord Jesus, a moment of power. When the hand of the Lord Jesus came down upon a woman that was so crooked, she couldn't even look up to heaven. And in a moment, she was gazing into the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she was completely straight. I tell you, I've known women like that. Oh, we see people come to the Lord who are not like that. It's only a few days ago, we saw two young girls, 16 and 18, who had been brought up in a home with an exclusive background, taught the things of God from childhood, yet never known Christ the Savior, but sweetly and gently going through life. All we've seen people like that, as these girls did just the other day, accept the Lord Jesus as Savior. But you know, it was in the gospel tent where we saw a woman named Mary Clark. She belonged to Dissington in Cumberland in the UK. You know, when Mary Clark got saved, people thought, why, it wouldn't last till she got home. It wouldn't last till she got home. On the way home, Mary Clark took out her packet of cigarettes and gave it to a neighbor. That's how quick it happened to her. By the time Mary Clark was finished, there were several of her neighbors had got saved. Now look, she was a woman, and everybody said they wondered whether she or her husband would be hanged for murder first, because they were always trying to do each other in. And she's this kind of woman, that one washing day morning, after it had been raining, it had cleared up, and she put her washing out on the line. And she was looking out of the kitchen window, and she saw the line break, and all the washing came down into the mud. And she saw her neighbors who were gossiping over the fence. They saw her, she saw them laugh and nudge each other. And she said, oh, I know what they're saying, Lord. They're saying, watch Mary now. She'll come out and we'll see where her religion goes now. You know, the kitchen door opened and out came Mary Clark. She told me she didn't know any other hymn at that time. She was singing on a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. She was singing that as she picked her washing up, put it into the basket, said to her neighbors, isn't it a lovely day? Look, ladies and gentlemen, a moment of power. In Luke chapter 11, a crooked woman straightened. You know, that's what happened to Mary Clark, and that's what could happen to you tonight, dear lady, dear young person. That the Lord did completely straighten you out. And look, you look into the 8th chapter and see the maniac, see the man whom nobody could control. See, he couldn't control himself. That kind of man. And see how the Lord comes to where the man is. And see the Lord cast out of that man that strong and terrible power that had ruined and wrecked the man's life and made him a person that, well, even his loved ones must have been afraid of him. See the man completely transformed. See him clothed and in his right mind and sitting at the feet of Jesus. You know, I tell you, I know a man, in fact, he became a very good friend of mine. His name is Ernest French. And Ernest French was, at one time, the quartermaster sergeant in the Chindits in Burma, serving under General Wingate. And he was a trained killer. He'd been trained to kill since he was a young fella in special units in the army. When they came home, they took the uniform off him, but they couldn't take the instinct out of him. They got him put in a prison in Durham for manslaughter. And terrible things happened when this man was around. His own boy was a cripple because of the beatings his father had given him. And somebody gave him a booklet that told how I had got saved, and he read that booklet, and he looked at his wife, and he said, you know, Audrey, he says, either this man's crackers, or he says, there's more things in this world than you and I have ever dreamed of. And his wife says, well, you know, that man's preaching, and we can go and hear him. And that's how he got to come along to the meeting. And he was sitting next to the bus driver who brought a bus load in. And he said to the bus driver, as we were waiting to start, he says, do you belong to this lot? And the bus driver says, no, I'm the bus driver, that's all. Well, he says, perhaps you and me are the only two ordinary ones out of the whole lot of them. You know, that night, we preached the simple gospel, and we told how that the Lord Jesus, despite whatever a man has been or done or what the man is, despite what any person is, the Lord Jesus loves that person with a love that took him to dark Calvary, a love that took him to the cross to suffer and bleed and die to save that person. You know, that night, we asked if there was anyone who really wished to have the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. We'd be glad to talk with them. We'd be very happy to help them if they would take the Word of God for their answer. And that man stayed behind. And we saw that man on his knees and accepting the Lord Jesus as his own personal Savior. On the night that man was baptized, Bernie French, that boy, 15 and a half, the crippled boy, he came to me and he said, "I want to be saved." And I said, "Son, what makes you say that?" "Oh," he said, "I want to have the same Savior that my daddy has. I want to have the same Savior that my daddy has." Look, no matter what you've been or what you've done, the Lord Jesus Christ can take you, change you, transform you, and make you into the kind of person that your own loved ones will be glad to have in their midst. And look at the blind man. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I must admit, if I have to put anybody into one of these cases, it has to be myself. Because I was so blind. I couldn't see when I was a boy that my mother was right and my father was wrong. My mother was a Christian and my father was an atheist. And I couldn't see over all my years of wandering through this world from the North Pole to the tropics. I couldn't see that what I was doing was absolutely vile and sinful and infamous. And then I couldn't see when finally my own dear sister got saved and her husband. I couldn't see that what was happening to them was actually what my own mom had prayed for long ago. I couldn't see things like that. I couldn't see what other people tried to tell me. I couldn't see because I was blinded by sin. And I tell you, it was in a meeting like this. I was, you know where I was? I was right in the front row. When I came in through the door, I often used to say, if I go into a place like that, the place will fall down around about my ears. And it didn't, but the man at the door did. You see, everybody knew me. And my sister had people praying for me. When I came in, the man at the door, he told me afterwards, he says, "Why, Ben, when you came through the door," he says, "I just lifted a prayer, a silent prayer to the Lord and said, 'Lord, what a fish, help us to land him.'" And that dear man took me as if I had been his long lost brother, and he brought me all the way down the aisle and he put me in a front seat where I couldn't get away. You know, that night I heard of the Lord who loved a poor sinner like me. And I heard that I could have every sin blotted out. And I could have new life, not just a new start in the old one, but a new life from the Lord. Just simply by putting my trust in Him. You know, that night I knelt. There were three other men knelt with me that night. Strong men. Good men. Those men. And they knelt and they wept with me. As I accepted God's Son to be my own personal Savior. I thank God I knew what it was to have the moment of power when the power of God's salvation reached my life. Let me tell you, as for every one of these people that we've mentioned, it was a moment of decision. You know, the blind man had to learn, perhaps later, that the Lord Jesus was never to pass that way again. I think for myself, brethren. I think for myself, sisters. I think for myself, ladies. And I think for myself, gentlemen. And I think for myself, boys and girls. That when the Lord Jesus drew near to me that night, that had to be my moment of decision. I feel I hadn't grasped it. I could have been in hell tonight. Now what about it? Jesus of Nazareth passes by. He can save you. He will save you. If you but put your trust in Him tonight, don't let anything or anyone stop you, my friend, from seeking and finding Christ as your own personal Savior this very night. Now we're going to pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for the word of the Lord which we've been listening to over these days. And we thank Thee, our God, that Thy people have been hearing things which ought to strengthen. and which ought to help and encourage. We pray thee, Father, that these things might get into our character and help us, Lord God, to get past the men as we've been encouraged to do and listen to their message, the word of the Lord. Help us, Lord God, that it might get into our souls. But our God, we pray for the unsaved people in this gathering. Realize there could be some dear person right now on the brink of that decision that leads to destiny and glory. We pray, Father, that nothing be said or done that could hinder such a one. We ask thee, Father, that thou wouldst give them the help of the Holy Spirit to seek every possible means whereby they'll know Christ as their Saviour before this night is out. We ask it in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus.